I've been mulling over what I should try to share with you tonight and trying to get direction from the Lord. And I originally had this thought back in 2020. It was one of them things that I just put kind of as a side note and stuck it back and never really gave it a whole lot of thought until just recently. And I felt like the Lord's been dealing with me to brought it back to remembrance. And if you remember in 2020, is the height of COVID. And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, so don't throw rocks back at me. And but I was thinking during that time period, there was churches that was dropping like flies. Church members. There was preachers, ministers. And the Lord gave me a thought during that time of, and it was a trial. Either I'm God or I'm not. Either he's God or he's not. And I'm preaching on the subject. Is he really who he says he was? If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Acts, chapter number 10. I'm going to read a few verses here. This is, you Bible readers know, Peter is now preaching to Cornelius. And in verse number 34, he says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are a witness of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed himself openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to judge the quick and the dead, and to give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remissions of sin.'" There is a phrase that occurs repeatedly in this passage that I just read to you. It is a judicial terminology. You'll read it here in verse 39, "And we are witnesses." You'll read it again in verse number 41, "But unto him witnesses." And again in verse 43, the word witness. The word, that is a term that you'll find if you go to court. To witness and to testify. I know this is going to be a little bit different. And some of y'all that are new, don't judge me on first appearances, please. But I'm just trying to obey the Lord. We're going to have court in here tonight. Is that all right? I want to see if he is really who he says he is. I'm going to call my first witness to the stand. Mr. Andrew Barjona, will you please come forward? Mr. Andrew Barjona, would you please tell us who you are and where you come from? Well, I'm just a fisherman. That's what I've done for a living. But I can testify to this man that you're talking about. He is the living Son of God. He has all power in heaven and in earth. But you see, we was out there one day fishing. And I just preached about this Sunday. But we was out in the Sea of Galilee, and there was a storm, the mighty storm that arose. You understand, the disciples were all on board. I was with the other 11 that was out there. There was James and John, and they were fishermen too. They was experienced fishermen. But there was a storm that arose like no other storm that we'd ever seen in our life. And this man that you're in question about, you'd never believe where he was at. He was in the hinder part of the ship, fast asleep with his head on a pillow. The water was coming in the boat. We're experienced mariners, but we did not know what to do. We was in the storm of our life. And one of the disciples walked back and woke him up and said, "Master, you carest not that we perish." Andrew said, and the strangest thing happened. He stood up. He turned to the storm and began to speak to the storm like no man I have ever heard speak before. And he said, "Peace, be still." This man that you're asking about talked to the storm and the storm obeyed. You're asking me who he is? He is the Son of God. He is the Almighty. He is chosen. All right, Mr. Andrew Barjona, you go ahead and take your seat. I'm going to call my next witness. Mr. Barnabas from Jericho, would you please come forward and take the stand? You see, I was just a blind man. This one is kind of near and dear to my heart. I was a blind man. And I heard about this man called Jesus that was traveling the countryside. And I was hoping and praying that I would just maybe get a glimpse of him. Maybe that he would pass my way. And then I kept crying out. I heard that he was coming into our town. And I was sitting at the gate with my clothes on, my beggar clothes on, because that's where I sat and begged alms. That's how I made a living. And I heard this man was coming by. And I began to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And the crowd kept telling me to be quiet. Don't disturb him. Hush, calm down. And finally, I just cried all the louder. And finally, I heard this man saying, "Come hither." He said, "Blind Bartimaeus, he's talking to you." And I want you to notice this. The scripture says that he took off his garments and went to where Jesus was. The next thing that blind Bartimaeus said is, "I don't know," but he says, "Thy faith had made thee whole." All I can know is I used to be called blind Bartimaeus. I used to sit at the gate and beg, but I don't have to do that anymore. I have been touched by the Master. I'm not sure, but I do know one thing. He has the power to heal. He has the power to calm the storm. You know, we can't have court without having an expert witness. I don't know who's needing to hear this tonight, but somebody's needing to hear it. He's still God. Even in your storm, He's still God. Every case needs an expert witness. Can I call Jairus from Capernaum? He's not just a fly by night. He's a ruler of a synagogue. Mr. Jairus, can you tell me who this man is? You remember the story? He was kind of uncertain at first, but he'd heard about this man named Jesus, about the miracles that he had performed and the mighty works that he had done. But his daughter was sick. She was dying. He went and beckoned Jesus and asked him to come to his house. His wife tried to discourage him from going. But you know, a parent will do anything in their power when their child is sick. He put away, no doubt, his pride. His position of authority at this moment didn't mean a thing to him. His daughter was in distress. She was in trouble. They get to the house. They're weeping and they're wailing and they're crying uncontrollably. They meet him outside and says, "There's no need to even bother. Your daughter is dead." Jairus said, this man that you're in question about told everybody to leave, but James and John. Y'all come on in the house with me. He said, your daughter's not dead, but she's just sleeping. Then he spoke these words, "Tabitha kumai." That means damsel, arise. She got up, and all I know is this man raised my daughter back from the dead. He's still God. He is still who He says He is. Well, you know, every good court case needs a star witness. Jairus, you can go ahead and sit down. I'm going to call my star witness to the case. By the way, I've got a whole book full of witnesses right here that I could call if I need to. But I'm going to call my star witness tonight. Lazarus, will you take the stand? Lazarus, just go ahead and tell us, start at the beginning and tell me what really happened. Well, Your Honor, I was sick for a while. And my sister sent for Jesus, a dear friend of ours. And you know, I just sat by my bedroom window, waiting day after day, waiting for Him to show up. And I waited for a while, and Jesus didn't come. I thought maybe the next day that He would be there. I looked out with anticipation, and He never showed up. Well, Lazarus, what happened next? Your Honor, I died. You what? Yes, Your Honor, I was graveyard dead. D-E-A-D. But you're here. Yes, Your Honor, I died. Well, what happened after that? Well, that part is really kind of, I don't remember any of it. But I do know this. My sister told me this much, that finally Jesus showed up 4 days late. And I really don't know. I was in a wonderful place. It was a place of paradise. And the next thing that I know is that, you know, just what Martha told me. And she said that Jesus finally showed up on the scene. And Jesus said that he met her. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever shall that liveth and believeth, he shall never die. Well, what about after that? Well, she said that Jesus said to take away the stone. And he said, you know how my sister Martha is. I hope y'all don't mind. I'm adding living just a little bit. Well, you know Lazarus, he stinketh before and he sure stinketh now. Lord, he's been dead 4 days. And then he said, all I can remember is a voice that brought me back to this earth and says, Lazarus, come forth. He said, I was bound head and foot, and all I could see was just a little glimmer of light. And then I heard him say, loose him and set him free. Is he really who he said he was? Hey, well, Lazarus, tell us a little bit more about it. Well, all I know is what Martha said is that there was a lot of friends and family that come from Jerusalem, and they was weeping and they was crying, and she told me I had a really good funeral. Is he who he says he is? He's still God. He is the resurrection. He is the Son of God. He is life. He is freedom. He's the peace in your storm, the calm. He's the healer of our bodies when we're sick. He's the keeper of our salvation. And either he is God or he is not. I was sitting here listening to the prayer request come in. Brother Virgil, he is still the same God in the New Testament as he was in the Old Testament. I just gave you a few. I could have called, we could be here all night calling witnesses. I could go through the congregation tonight, and we'd be way into the morning if we could even get finished then. Of calling individual witnesses in the congregation of what God has done. I am one. You've heard my story. Brother Chip, have you heard my testimony? We got two right here. Is it okay if I tell it again? July of last year, the last week in July, just right there east of where y'all live, I was out there spraying Diaquat in an aquatic herbicide in my pond. Mixed it with the surfactant. That's just a sticker for hillbilly folks that don't know what I'm talking about. Keeps it from washing off. Somehow or another, I got Diaquat in my eyes with surfactant mixed in with it. I was able to load up my little kayak that I had in the back of the truck and begin to drive home. It looked like there was fire all around me, just smoke everywhere. By the time I crossed 28A Highway over here, heading to the house, my vision had dropped to about 50 feet. By the time I got into the house, got stripped off and into the shower with cold water and baby shampoo trying to wash and flush my eyes out. Got out of there. The first thing I done when I got home is I got the garden hose and held it up to both eyes trying to get it out. The wife got me in the car, got me dressed, and we went to the emergency room. They put the Morgan lenses in my eyes. It's basically giant suction cups with tubes running out to where they drip saline solution in your eyes. By that time, my nose, my face, my eyelids, down my chest, in my mouth was blistered from the chemicals. That was the last thing that I saw was going into the emergency room. I could see my wife on the other side of the room. She was just a blurry vision. I could tell there was somebody there, but didn't know who she was. The doctors gave me antibiotics to put in it. It felt like toothpaste that was gritty to put in my eyes. That was on a Saturday. I'd call Brother Virgil and ask Brother Virgil to fill in for me Sunday morning. Sister Jennifer Foster, she has a niece that is an eye specialist in Pryor. She was messaging her on the phone, telling her what had happened. She told us to get eye drops, certain kind, told my wife how to treat it. We went in first thing Monday morning. I was afraid I couldn't get into my eye doctor, my regular eye doctor. I'm diabetic, so I have a regular eye doctor, regular appointments, and I have to go in and see. I get over there. They look at my eyes, start giving me medication for them, steroids, eye drops. I was putting eye drops in every 2 hours around the clock. My wife was putting them in my eyes. I go back to her the following week. So it's now been a full week, Monday to Monday. I go in. I cannot stand to have any light whatsoever on in the house. I go outside. I've got two pairs of sunglasses and a shirt over my head. That's the way I have to go to the doctor. Headaches, severe. Dilation drops every 4 hours. You've had your eyes dilated, you know how that makes you feel. Every 4 hours, dilation drops. I go back in Monday morning. She calls the other eye doctor in. I thought, well, wow, this can either be really good or really bad. She said, you have got an autoimmune disorder attacking your eyes. They're getting worse. She says, I need you to go to a specialist in Tulsa. I said, okay, when? She says, right now. We go to the specialist. The specialist looks at my eyes and says, keep doing what you're doing. I want to see you back here tomorrow. They was going to put embryonic patches on my eyes to try to heal them. He said, with your eyes being inflamed like they are, it'll do more damage than good. So I go back the following day. He said, your eyes are worse today than they was yesterday. I have to concur with the other two eye specialists, the eye doctors, that you've got an autoimmune disorder in your eyes. He says, I've got one other doctor that I want you to go to if I can get you in. Brother Virgil, he called him. He says, yes. That was on a Tuesday. He says, yes, have him come in Wednesday. This doctor is on call for St. John, St. Francis, and Hillcrest, plus he has a private practice, plus he drives around the countryside at the other small doing LASIK surgery and different things. He's a busy man. We finally get in on Wednesday. The clinic is already closed. He sees me after hours. He's got two emergency room patients waiting on him. One of them has got his eye busted out with a baseball bat. The other one has cancer in the eye, and he's going to have to remove the eye. He gets me in and sits me down in the chair and looks at my eyes and says, "Oh, you've got membranes." He said, "This is going to hurt." I'll tell you what, I knew what hurt was, but I didn't know what that kind of hurt was. After a while, he started. I was just in a cold sweat. About 30 minutes of it, he said, "Let's take a little bit of a break." I blinked my eyes just a little bit, and I could see. 14 days of being blind. He laid his instrument down on the table, and I said, "Doctor, is that tweezers?" He said, "No, sir, that's not your standard tweezers like you buy at Walgreens. These are German-made surgical stainless steel tweezers." Like that was going to make me feel better. He worked on my other eye and said, "I need to see you back." Go back in, and finally, long story short, I finally get back in to see the eye doctor. My final visit, they set me down in the chair and they said, "Well, we're going to do an eye test on you." Now keep in mind, I'm 57 years old and 56 at that time and a diabetic. I've needed glasses for the last probably 30, 35 years. I asked the doctor, I said, "How's my eyesight?" He said, "Well, right now you've got 20/20 in both eyes." I haven't had that in forever. He said, he wanted to know who my eye doctor was, and I told him, I said, "Who my normal eye doctor is." "She's going to ask you what happened to your eyes." And I said, "Okay." So guess what? I go back to my regular eye doctor. This is in July is when this took place. I go back to my regular eye doctor. What was it, October? Go back in October, same year. She does my eye exam. And she said, "Well, diabetes, your eyes fluctuates up and down." It said, "Pressures look good. Everything looks good. Your vision's 20/20. Come back and see me in 6 months. And I said, "Well, doctor, do you see anything wrong with my eyes? Anything different?" I didn't tell her yet what happened. I was getting ready to testify to her. She said, looked at him again. She said, "Well, no, why?" And I named off the doctor. I said, "Do you know him?" She said, yeah, I know him. So everybody knows him. He's one of the top surgeons in the States. And I said, "Well, he told me that you would want to know what happened to my eyes." And she said, "Well, what happened?" Whew, I got to testify, she asked. She said, "There is no scarring whatsoever in your eyes." I go back again in the spring. Guess what? I've got 20/20 again. That diabetes is doing this. My eyes are doing this. I go back again, and they do another test. My eyes are 20/20 in both eyes. I tell you what, he is really who he says he is. He's still God. And in the midst of your storm, he's still God. If you're needed healing, he's still God. If you've got troubles, he's still God. I'm like the man in the Bible. I was blind, but now I see. And I like this last verse, verse 43. It says to him, "Give all the prophets witnesses that through the name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins." Brother Isaac, that is the most important part of it all. He can make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, raise the dead. But when he saved me, hallelujah, that is a testimony that I'll tell you what, I don't want to ever forget that experience that I had when he rolled my sins away, gave me a new life. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. Behold, all things became new. There was forgiveness, deliverance, freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going through tonight, I believe we have put him on trial. And I believe I can say he is the Son of God. With all power and all might, healing in his wings. And whatever you need, all we have to do is wake up the Master and say, Lord, it's me again.